Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. This morning, I'm really thrilled to welcome to the show Anthony Ryan, Marketing Director of Ignatius Press. Welcome to the show, Anthony.
Good morning, Allison. Thanks for having me on.
And today we're going to talk about two of Ignatius Press's new offerings, A Family of Saints and Guadalupe Mysteries, Deciphering the Code. So we'll just, I think we'll just jump right into A Family of Saints, if that's okay with you.
Be great.
So why did Ignatius Press decide to publish this book? What is so unique about this for the Ignatius Press edition?
Yeah, so Family of Saints, first of all, the reason I'm on and the author's not on is the author, his name is Father Stéphane Joseph Piat. He was a Franciscan. He has passed away quite a while ago. This book he wrote years ago, he actually was a contemporary of some of the Martin family. So he wrote this book about the family, the Martin family, from his own experience, but also from all of his own research he did on their family and on their lives, especially, of course, in St. Therese, the most well-known. But he's passed away, and we wanted to bring this book back as a new edition because of her parents being canonized. Of course, Louis and Zélie were canonized a year ago by Pope Francis, and that was a historical first in the church because we've never had a husband and wife being canonized together. And so we thought perfect book to give a new edition to for families today, for married couples. And so we have this new edition out. We had the great George Weigel wrote an afterword for it. We had Patty De Filippis, the wife of Leonardo De Filippis. He's a little more well-known than she is, but they worked together on these great plays St. Luke Productions puts out, and then they actually made a movie on St. Therese called Therese based on the play they had done, and there's still a play they have out there on Therese. So Patty is a writer and a director of these plays with Leonardo, and she actually played the mother of Therese in the movie. She played Zélie. So they had a lot of experience and knowledge of this story, and so we asked Patty to write the foreword to this book. And then in addition to that, I mean, we retypeset it, and then it has some great photos of the family in there that were not in the earlier edition. So it's, it really is a great new edition of this book, and it's called A Family of Saints. So it's about really the whole family, and it's really the definitive. There is no other book on the Martin family like this. That's the other reason we wanted to do it. It's really the definitive biography of this great family. Yeah. And it focuses really on all of them, but it gives a lot of attention to the parents, Louis and Zélie, and since they were canonized in the last year, we just thought it's really perfect for our times.
Absolutely. And I can attest that I've read a lot about St. Therese. Like, I didn't really want to be a fan of her. I felt like she had already had too many people praying to her. So quite honestly, Anthony, I was always looking for somebody who was a little less well-known so I could, you know, have them all to myself. But the Martin family is so, you're attracted to them. Their story is so amazing, to have this mother and father with so many called to a vocation to serve the Lord. Like, what were Louis and Zélie like before they got married? That's included, I believe, in the story, obviously, yes.
Yeah, so they both grew up in pretty strong and devout Catholic families, which is not always the case with saints, but in this case, it was for Louis and Zélie. Both of their fathers are military officers. And they grew up in a families that were, you know, devout and also you know, somewhat strict because there was military involved, which helped both of them be, you know, people of discipline and so forth. Matter of fact, Zelia's family probably was a little over strict, and you see that in some issues she had to deal with as she was growing up. In her own spirituality and so forth. Lewis was more of a quiet kind of meditative man, and as a matter of fact, he really wanted to be, he thought he was called to be a priest, so he really made an effort to try the priesthood, and you know, he wanted to be like a monk. He was so attracted to silence. Wow. And meditation and prayer, but it didn't, that was not his calling, but he gave it a real shot, as the book talks about.
And that's God's great sense of humor. He was attracted to silence, and then the Lord sends him just a houseload of girls.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. That's right. That God has a sense of humor. Yeah, girls. No boys, just girls. You know. So, actually, they did have a boy that they had. We can talk about that. But a lot of people don't know that they had a number of their children who died when they were young.
But they did have a lot of suffering.
So, and then Zelia also thought that she was called to the religious life. And so she looked into becoming a nun and was very serious about that. She really thought she was called to that. So they both thought they had strong calls to the religious life, and it turns out that that wasn't the case for her either. And then so he became a watchmaker. And a very good one, and she became a lace maker and a very good one, and they both actually had their own businesses. So, you know, that's kind of the little background up to what they were like before they got married.
And that military background explains, explains the one thing about Lewis. Whenever I think about him, I have this image. The discipline that he had every single night to go on his knees and to pray in the family. Like, I picture him in the family kitchen on his knees praying. And that was something that Therese would have seen every single day. And I think about my own trying to be disciplined in prayer and just pray the rosary every day, or even just, you know, pray every day, and not always be successful. So Louis is one of those I turn to in prayer for intercession when I'm feeling a little of that discipline lacking in my own life. So what was their marriage like? They come from these two very strict backgrounds, very obviously faith-filled backgrounds. And how did they, you know, merge those into a marriage?
Well, so their marriage, it's interesting, when they started off, after they got married, Lewis still had this high ideal of living this life of, you know, almost like the life of a consecrated religious. So they, you know, he had this ideal, we'll live almost like brother and sister, you know. And so they did for a while, and they did not consummate the marriage. And so, you know, Zelia, she just went along with it. She, you know, she loved her husband, and she, of course, is very devout. And but finally, a priest friend of theirs helped them to realize, no, that's not what God wants you to do. You're married. He wants you to live like husband and wife. And so, you know, so they consummated the marriage, and then, you know, they had started having children, and the children really became the focus of their life. The children were the heart of that whole home. They loved their children. That's really the beauty of this story, is how devoted they became to their children, even though they both ran their own businesses. So this is why this story is really contemporary, because we know that in today's world, there's a lot of married people with kids who have to work.
Yeah.
Or they think they have to work. I don't know if that's the case in every story, but a lot of husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, are working, and it's a challenge to raise your family when you're working. And so here are these two canonized saints, husband and wife, who had their own businesses. They just didn't work. They ran their own business. Their businesses were very good at it, and they had their own employees and so forth. But yet, nevertheless, their whole life was really focused on their children. They loved their children, and charity was really the soul of that home, the love they had for each other. There was a lot of affection. So even though they both came from these strict backgrounds, they had a lot of affection for each other, Lewis and Zelly, and especially towards their children. And you know, so the children were really the heart of their home. And let me just read this passage here right at the beginning of the book.
Please.
There's a little testimony, a little phrase from, or a quote from Zelly that emphasizes this. She said this: "When we had our children, our ideas changed. We lived only for our children. They were all our happiness, and we never found any except in them. In short, nothing was too difficult. The world was no longer a burden for us. For me, our children were a great compensation, so I wanted to have a lot of them in order to raise them for heaven." Okay. And so, I mean, we can talk about their children more, but really that was the heart of their home. And even when she had, you know, so we all know about the girls, the five girls they had who all became nuns, but they actually had four other children who died when they were young, not just infants, but you know, toddlers, and one I think was 4 or 5 years old. And in that time, there was, you know, children mortality rate was fairly high, and so that was a huge suffering for them, no doubt about it, because they love their children so much. But I know that a lot of people today can understand and relate to Zelly, especially because, you know, people even back then told her, you know, you never should have had those children, those ones that died. You know, it would have been better off for you not to have them. You know, and that's the kind of mentality we deal with in our culture today. And her response was just the absolute opposite. It was a huge joy for me to have those children. I love those children. And, of course, I deeply saddened for their deaths. But she said, I raised children for heaven. You know, those children
are now
in heaven.
I love that attitude.
Yeah.
I love that attitude, and I think that that helps people in those sufferings to kind of keep their faith, because it can be very difficult to keep looking to God when you feel like he's just taken something from you that you had asked him for. We're talking this morning with Anthony Ryan, Marketing Director of Ignatius Press, and we're looking at this wonderful book, A Family of Saints. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined this morning by Anthony Ryan, Marketing Director of Ignatius Press. And during the break, I was teasing, I was telling him my 5 minutes of fame came from Ignatius Press when I was so blessed to be part of the Didache Bible blog tour. I wrote my 10 reasons for making the Didache Bible out from Ignatius Press my go-to Bible, my favorite Bible. And then my 5 minutes of fame came, not just in the blog tour, though that was just amazing to be part of, but the catalog came out, the seasonal catalog came out right after the blog tour, and I'm just casually looking through it like I always do for something new and exciting from Ignatius Press, because they always have something new and exciting, and there was my quote about the Didache Bible in big letters right in the catalog. I thought, if I got this excited about being included in reviewing a book, imagine how excited I'll get someday when I actually write a book. But you were sharing that the Didache Bible has a leather edition. I did not know
that. There's a leather edition. It's beautiful. It's got a couple ribbons, and it's got gold gilded pages, and yeah, it's pretty stunning, actually.
Sounds like a wonderful gift. I give this gift actually to all the kids I know getting confirmed, because I love the way that it is the Bible, and it's the RSV version, which is very readable, and people can relate to the words, you know, to the version of the variation of it. And then I love that it's attached to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I think the Bible and the Catechism, two most underused books in the world, especially by Catholics, and to see those two merged together with the apologetics that's included in there, just, it's beautiful. So now I know I'm going to step it up to the leather edition for those gifts. in the next rounds of confirmations in our CIA.
Yeah, it's a great Bible. I'm glad you love it so much.
Yeah, I'm a big fangirl of it. So the other book I'm becoming a big fangirl of that I'd like to move over to for this last segment that I have with you again, my guest today is Anthony Ryan, Marketing Director, Ignatius Press, is The Guadalupe Mysteries, Deciphering the Code. Who are the authors of this book, and tell us a little bit about it.
Sure, yeah. So the same reason that I'm on and not the authors is that they're actually alive, but they are in Poland. Gregor Gorny and Janusz Ross.